chapter 1, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. Verse 10. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep, or of the goats for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. Verse 14. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then shall he bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. Go back to verse 9. Middle of the verse. A burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Middle of verse 13. A burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. The middle of verse 17. A burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Just been enjoying how our God is seeking worshippers to worship him. And the veil has been rent. And the exhortation is, let us draw near with a true heart. God has rent the veil. And by his matchless grace, he has made us worshippers. And this morning we enjoyed what to me is the most precious privilege anyone can ever have on this earth, and that is to worship in spirit and in truth. And what is so precious is that we have nothing to bring of ourselves. What we brought this morning was Christ. And what makes nothing of ourselves is that it's what he produces in our hearts as well. As Solomon so rightly says, of thine own have we given thee. All things come of thee. But by his wondrous grace we are worshippers. And here in Leviticus, the tabernacle has been built. Everything is in order. We heard of the confusion. Moses was told to make the tabernacle according to the commandments of God, and when it was all in place, God saw it there. And it's repeated in the last chapter, according to the commandment of the Lord, time and time again. And when everything was there, the cloud came down. God's presence. And now Leviticus 1 begins. God wants his people to draw near. And we may take up these lovely chapters which bring before us the offerings. And in these offerings they bring before us all those very precious, lovely things which extol our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Get into those offerings if you really want to enjoy the preciousness of the Lord Jesus. They bring him before us in different aspects, and I'm not going to go through those. We usually come in at the last offering, which is the sin offering, because we recognise, as we heard at the children's meeting this morning, we recognise what we are, we're sinners. We need to get saved. And when we get saved, like that man we heard of in John 9, we bow at his feet. But here, we have the other extreme. God always wants first what is for himself. And we have here the highest and the best. It's the first offering, the burnt offering. And in this offering, everything is for God. In some of the offerings, some is for the priest, sometimes for the offerer. Here, it is all burnt on the altar for God. What is it? We read in Hebrews chapter 9, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, offered himself without spot to God. And what you have embraced in this first chapter of Leviticus is the whole of our Lord Jesus here. He gave everything that he was for God. I believe it embraces every part of his whole being here as a man, given to God. In the next offering you have him as the meal offering. The man you would have seen walking through the streets of Galilee, his perfect sinless humanity. The burnt offering goes more far beyond that. He offered himself without spot to God in every way. What a wonderful person. Just think of that. All the years God had looked down from heaven, he'd seen the faithful ones, but never could he have had he been able to say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I find all my delight." But one day, there was a man there, the Lord Jesus. Every moment of that life, every thought, every purpose, it had a single eye before it to please his Father. Everything was for God. And that is what God has given you and me to enjoy, to form our worship. All that he is. And while we do have to recognize just what the Lord has done for us, there is something which is in fact far more wonderful. Remember dear old, I think it was Mr. Stoney wrote, he was in a meeting with Mr. Darby. And at the end of the breaking of bread, he turned to Mr. Darby and said, "Oh, how the Lord was thinking about us on the cross." And he said, "Mr. Darby retorted to me, he wasn't thinking of us, he was thinking of the glory of God." That's the burnt offering. Everything holy for God. What a wonderful thing to think that on that cross, here was something in which God could take all his pleasure. And that's what God gives us to enjoy. And so I just want to pass on a couple of thoughts here as our brother Clem has been, as it were, bringing us into the holy, bringing us to that wonderful place. We are worshippers. But our worship can vary in its character. Our appreciation of what the Lord Jesus is can vary in its character. But I don't want that to discourage us. And I don't want to denigrate anybody. On the contrary, what we have in this chapter is very encouraging to us all. But what we saw were there were various degrees. We had, first of all, the offering the cattle of the herd and of the goat. And then we had the sheep, or the goats for a burnt sacrifice. And then we had the fowls, the turtle doves or young pigeons. And you don't have to be very deeply spiritual to see that those are different animals in size and in the ability of the offerer to bring them to God. The Lord Jesus came from a poor family, didn't he? They brought 2 turtle doves and the pigeons when his parents brought him to the temple. And what is that lesson for us? We all came here this morning into the presence of God. And we have to ask ourselves, what did we bring? How much did we enter into those things which came before us? A little boy was sitting here at Sunday school and the question was asked about getting saved. And he gave that lovely answer. I don't know where he is. I don't want him to stand up to embarrass him. But he had got in his soul, clearly, he knew what it was to be saved. I just want to ask him wherever he is. A bit later when you were here at the meeting,
Did you just close your eyes and thank the Lord Jesus for what he's done for you? It may be that you don't have any greater understanding than that. Christ died for our sins. And that may be like the turtle doves and the pigeons. Or it may be that as you sat here this morning in the presence of the Saviour, those precious hymns we sang, those precious scriptures that were read, and as thanks was given, were we really down? Was it really down in our soul? Did we enter into what the significance of those things were? The bread which we break, that body which was given for us, that body offered as a sacrifice, not only for your sins, but for the honour and glory of God. That is what we have here, I believe, in a little picture. The degrees to which we appreciate and value what the Lord has done for us. And every one of us here, we might take these three examples and we might weigh in our own soul, what is my offering? Is it the turtle doves or is it the bullock? And I just leave it for you to weigh in your own heart, the same as it has to weigh in mine. And I just trust that if, having been here these days, as indeed we go week by week to our assemblies, that what Christ has done for your soul and mine, and what he has been here in this world for the honour of God, it so fills up our hearts that if, as we've sat here today, we have to hang our head and say, well, really, I feel it's just like the turtle doves and pigeons. I trust that the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, will have engendered in our hearts that which goes after him, that which feeds on him, so that when we come in to his presence, I don't mean by any magical way, but that ongoing growth through the truth, that as we come into his presence, to use another expression in the Old Testament, our baskets of first fruits will indeed be full. Not partially full, but full. That's what the Lord wants for us. We do grow. And again, as we looked at John chapter 9, we see that lovely progress in that poor blind man. He says, a man that is called Jesus. And somebody may be here, I know very few of you, and there may be somebody here who's only recently been saved. And maybe you haven't got much farther than that, a man that is called Jesus. That's all he knew about him, but he knew what he'd done for him. He'd given him sight. And for that, there was joy in his heart. And maybe there's somebody here, maybe a little child. Much of what we learn in the scriptures, it just seems to go over your head at the present. Enjoy what you've got. Has Jesus forgiven your sins? Wonderful. When you come into his presence, bow. It may only be like the turtle doves, but I'm going to come on to something in a moment which is very precious. But go on, and let us go on, and may Christ fill our hearts in worship. The other thing I want to bring out from this lovely chapter, and it's the reason I distinctly read the chapter in the way I did. There may be, when they brought these offerings in, there may have been various categories of animals. But probably the most precious thing about this chapter is what God says about the offerings. And without exception, we read the same words. It is an offering, a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. If somebody came in and they just had their pigeons and alongside was somebody else with their bullock, did God say of it, the bullock is a sweeter savour? No. It is a sweet savour. And that I find so precious. And there may be somebody here, again I say, and you may have just bowed, you may not understand much, but you may have been here this morning And you may just have bowed your head and said, thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. God receives that the same as anyone else who got up. Somebody who's been on the road in Christianity for many years, who knows the Bible back to front, and God has given a gift to. If what you said there came from a full heart, the Lord says of your what you said, what he says of everything, everyone else, it is an offering of a sweet savour unto the Lord. The meaning is that offering rose as incense. And what comes from your heart, that is how God receives it. How precious it is. Sometimes we feel, I'm not worthy to come into his presence. How true we are. But then the Bible never tells us that we are to examine ourselves and not break that bread. We are to examine ourselves to realize how unworthy we are. But he wants us to bring our offerings in to his presence. And how little we may enjoy it. And sometimes, I don't know about others here, but sometimes I come into the Lord's Day meeting and I think, how little the Lord Jesus has really been in my soul this week. It's true. Satan wants to take that and say, you don't deserve to be here. That's true as well. But the wonderful thing is, I have a God who is greater than that. And he says, I want you to come in. Yes, you're not worthy. I know that better than you know that yourself. But bring it in. What is in your heart, give it to me. It is a burnt offering of a sweet savour unto the Lord. How precious that is. We're in the holiest of all. The merits of the Lord appear. They fill the holy place. How precious this is. I just have one other thought in this lovely chapter. We're going back to our assemblies, and it's lovely to be here with many of the Lord's people. Well, as you know, in England there are very few of us, and maybe some of our younger ones here, and I'm particularly looking at them, the younger brothers here. Maybe you're going back to an assembly where there aren't many. And when you go back there, has what you've had before us in these lovely days at the conference, has it put something there that you would like to give to the Lord? Do you want to be of service here for him? Do you want your life to be of some account for him? He wants it. I remember many years ago, some of you probably know Stan Allen from Stellarton. He came to England for a year, and I got to know him very well in that time. And as he was coming to the end of his time here in England, he said, what was I going to do? He said, I could go back to my meeting in Ottawa. And he said, I have to tell you, my only contribution in that assembly had been I had sat at the back. And when the emblems came round, I used to take them back to the table. I could have gone back and done that. But what I'd learned is I wanted to give something that all deserved more than that from me. Well, you know how he took him to Stellarton and the work that's gone on there. How is it with you young brothers here going back to your assembly? When you get there, are you going to keep your mouth shut? Or do you want to give something to the Lord Jesus? And that's what I'm coming to here. Because just read these verses, verse 16. We have this offering of the pigeons, and it says, verse 16, that the priest shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. What is the application? Maybe you say, I'd like to, but you know, I'm afraid I'm going to give out the wrong hymn, or I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong words when I get up to give thanks. Oh, you're going to make plenty of mistakes. There's not one brother here who hasn't made many mistakes. I can tell you that. Don't be discouraged. What I would say to you is, if the Lord Jesus means much to you, go back and in the closet of your bedroom, get down on your knees and pray about it. The Lord will help you. You will make mistakes. But the priest takes the crop What is it? It's the food which has gone in and it's not been digested. And it may be you don't have a full understanding of the whole of the Word of God. Was the person not to bring the offering? No, on the contrary. There was a priest to deal with it. Who is the priest? You have the priest in heaven, the Lord Jesus. And that's why again I say I want to encourage those young brothers who are here, when you go back to the meeting, get on your knees and pray about these things. And the Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, yes, He'll give you a hymn to give out. And He'll cause you to stand up and read a scripture or to give thanks. I know we've all been there. I remember the first time I gave out a hymn in the meeting, I had my hymn book open for so long, the brethren must have got very tired of waiting. I was shaking like a leaf, but the Lord helped me. And I can't say I've always given out the hymn which has been in the Spirit or read scriptures. We're here, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and we all make mistakes. And sometimes we like to hear our own voice, and somebody's there and we want to please them. That's what we are here. We have a priest who takes away the crop. Yes, you may make mistakes, but you can look up and say, I have the Lord Jesus who will deal with these things. And so I say again to you younger brothers, get on your knees. Don't go back from here, whatever you do, and say, I'm going to give out a hymn. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read a scripture. That's a remedy for failure. But I would ask you to get on your knees and to be encouraged by what we have here. There is someone to help you, the Lord Jesus. And above and beyond it all, it's a question of what does He think of what we have to offer. And whether it is the bullock, whether it is the sheep, or whether it's the turtle doves, if it's from a heart that is full, you've come into the holiest of all, Christ is precious to your soul, you want to give to Him, whatever it is, God will say of it, it is a burnt sacrifice, a sweet savour unto the Lord.